It's time for the Mount Vernon Wildcat Coaches Show on 106.7 WMVI and MountVernonRadio.com. Wildcats football is brought to you by the Posey County Co-op, United Fidelity Bank, Auto Car Trader, Crane Credit Union, Expressway Chevrolet, Bud's Hardware, the Mount Vernon M Club, Expressway Jeep, T. Milam of Erie First Advantage Realty, Russell's Excavating, Keitel Eye Care, GAF, and Tequila's.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Mount Vernon Football Coaches Show for the final time this season. I'm Alan Buck, sitting here with Coach Justin Fisher. Apologize we're a week late. We just had some scheduling conflicts, but wanted to talk about an absolutely terrific season and a great group of seniors that I know Coach is sorry to see go, as well as spectators and as well as broadcasters are sorry to see these guys go. Coach, thanks for the time this evening. Need to talk about the Southridge game and wrap up the season. Going in, you'd just seen them 3 weeks prior. You'd gotten a couple players back off of the injured list, and we're ready to go. But then you kind of traded. You lost a couple more to the injured list.
Yeah, I think the game at North Posey kind of expended a lot of energy that night, and physically kind of took its toll too. I think you have to give a lot of credit to Southridge first and foremost. Their kids are kind of always, scrappy, and they fight hard and got some grit to them. And I was kind of worried pregame. I didn't think we had a lot of emotion in us and energy. So I was a little bit concerned, especially coming off like a game against North Posey where so much was required to win the game. But I really thought our kids fought our tails off for three quarters against Southridge. They battled hard. And then kind of in the fourth quarter, we can talk about some of the specifics, but I think it kind of just kind of broke our will a little bit there after some turnovers and some things kind of went against us. And we just kind of we had a hard time kind of recovering from it there in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, their defensive line to me was deceiving in that they weren't that large, and it looked like sometimes they just had a three-man front, but their linebackers filled gaps well, and sometimes you could run successfully, and other times it was like there was no room. Did they have 12 or 15 people on the line?
Yeah, defensively, they do have some quicker kids. They did a nice job up front, like you said, who are strong, and they move well. I think one of the challenges for us, and, I really feel like if, we lost Jake Leader and Gavin Shue in the North Posey game.
That's huge.
So we're starting to tackle a freshman left tackle. So I really felt like if we had those guys in there, we'd have ran the ball better, which would have helped us out. I think Shane ran tremendously hard.
Yeah, he always
and,
does.
He had 20 carries for 50-some yards. And so we're not able to consistently get much going on the ground. And in some short-yarded situation, that kind of reared its head. When you look at offensively on the night, we moved the ball up and down the field. I don't have the stat book in front of me because it drifted off somewhere. But if you look at total yards, I think it was right around mid-300s for both teams or something like that.
According to mine, and these are highly unofficial, we had 337 yards to their 329.
Yeah, so we were right there. I really felt like we had a chance to win a game. We moved the ball up and down the field. And then, honestly, at the end of the day, it was an inability to control the line of scrimmage and turnovers, untimely turnovers.
Yeah.
They cost us.
Yeah.
We're up 7-0 marching down the field, and we have a chance to go 14. I think we threw an interception on third or fourth down, and then that kind of flipped the game there.
Yeah. And the other one was getting the ball inside the 10, first and goal, and didn't punch it in.
Right.
Wasn't that a Clowers catch, jump, leaping
it was,
catch down there?
It was. So you look at, and then you go back to the start of second half, we onside kick and recovered, so we have a chance there to recover, and we end up turning the ball over, and then they go ahead 13-7, and then the drive you're talking, we march the ball down the field inside the 10-yard line, and we have third and goal from the 4, get stuffed on third down, then fourth down, we threw a ball to Nash that he almost, we've just become used to him coming up with it.
Yeah.
He didn't. And so we stalled out there. And then I think on the very next play, Alan, they broke off a 70-yard run or something close to that. I felt like from there, that was the last play of the third quarter, I believe, we're close to it. And I just kind of – I saw the kind of error kind of come out of our kids at that point. We had a hard time recovering after that. But I thought we fought very hard. Our kids were valiant for three quarters. I thought they did a nice job.
Yeah, going into the game, I was making plans to call another game in the bowl the following week.
Well, we were hoping to. I think under different circumstances, you know, give us a few people back.
Mm-hmm.
We were playing the game without. There were seven kids on the star down the sideline that would have been starting on Friday night. So
that's tough. That's a tough pill for anybody to swallow, especially when you're building this program. Your numbers are getting better, but you don't have 22 starters, and so when you do have seven, it leaves you a little thin. Like you said, starting a freshman on the offensive line, and I'm sure he did a good job, and it's going to be good for him for the next 3 years. But in that game, that's a tough situation to toss a kid into.
It is. I thought our kids fought extremely hard for, like I said, three quarters. I just became a little bit short there, but you know, can't make excuses either. But certainly, I feel like this group accomplished a lot. And all things considered, we had a really good season. You would like to, under different circumstances, we were missing some really good football players.
Yeah, yeah. You
talk
really
about
were.
Lippy, Hall, Lilliston. I mean, those guys right there can play, man. And there's a couple other guys down the stretch. Talk about offensive linemen and some guys. And so we
– Yep, Barrett contributed on defense.
Absolutely. Maddox Lee. We kind of missed him the last game. And so he was out against Southridge. So I don't want to make this about injuries because, listen, Southridge team, those kids, they're a very gritty and scrappy bunch. And a lot of respect for them and their program and the way they conduct themselves and the way they play. And I thought they just kind of asserted their will late in the fourth quarter. And that was kind of the difference after we had some opportunities and squandered them.
Yeah, I agree with you. The one thing, though, that you can take away, you've been taking steps in this program. And this year, I really thought you were real close to Southridge. You had your best shot at them. You know, you had your longest drive of the season against Southridge the first time we played. And this time, you had a lead against them. And another, like you said, an opportunity to go up 14-0 and just didn't quite get that done. And how that might have changed the complexion of the game mentally.
Of course. Right.
Because your guys, this was a game, they were favored. It's in their house. Yet, if you could stay on top, like the North Posey game, you got off to a hot start, led from the beginning, and that's a whole different mindset than trying to
sure.
come back from behind from in somebody else's place. And I was just really, really enjoyed this team this year, watching them go and compete. And you know, you got two super teams in this conference, in Heritage Hills and Gibson Southern.
Right,
they're both still alive. And then after that, you guys in Southridge, and you were better than everybody else, and showed it in most games very decisively.
Yeah, I think when you look at, you know, there might have been a few things that we wanted to accomplish, but I think when you look at it in total, and like we said, after week five of the Princeton game and some of the adversity and some of the injuries we had, I didn't know if we'd win another game because you're just looking at some of the guys that might not be able to play. And I think for this group, kind of steady the ship there. And, you know, we kind of went through the Southridge game in the regular season, Heritage Hills. We kind of had to get through that one and to win the Washington game on the road in convincing fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And then come home and beat North Posey was really a great night there to kind of get that one. And then, you know, you look at the end of the season when all the dust settles, considering everything that happened, the adversity, you know, in order for these kids in the program to have a winning season, you know, it's not what we wanted to accomplish more, but I think everything in total, it was a productive and good season for the kids, and I hope that they had a good experience as a high school football player and playing and enjoying themselves.
I don't know if you recall, but the coach's show before the Princeton game, we were talking, and you'd said, you know, you hadn't had a close game yet, and you were, you know, and you didn't know how the team would react in a close game. Well, you got one in the Princeton game for sure, and they had the chance to fold when Princeton came roaring back after that long delay, and they didn't. They missed the 2-point conversion and have a chance to fold again. When you're down one late in the fourth quarter, they didn't. That's a lot of character.
Well, when you look,
that's what you built.
Right. When you look back, that game was pivotal too, because
absolutely,
if we don't come back and win that game, you're sitting here 5-5 instead of having a 6-4 winning record. And so that game was pivotal, and all the things that happened. And then, you know, Schickel coming in at quarterback, then the game was amazing, the job he did there to kind of will us to victory there. And that game was pivotal because it gave us a winning record on the season.
It really did. You know, you put the ball in the hands of your best athletes. You know, Brady certainly won. Your offensive line got took over again And Logan Clower stepped up big in two ways in there, offense and defense.
Yeah, you look at Shane had a Krieger had a really good night against Princeton that night. Logan Clower's made some big catches with the absence of Nash. You know, we were struggling. Then I think kind of, you know, Chickle coming under the circumstances he did, it kind of tells you who he is and what he's about, the fact that he would come in and, you know, play quarterback when really he haven't had any reps. And somehow we found a way to win that game. That goes a credit to the kids. And
I think senior leadership.
No doubt.
And the guts and everything.
No doubt.
I'm not sure. I can't remember the last time a defensive end went in a quarterback for any team at any level, anywhere. So,
not something you see often. I think that just tells you kind of
brilliant coaching. That's what
it was.
That's what that was.
Sure was.
Well, listen, folks, we'll take our first break of the evening and come back, and we'll talk a little bit more in detail about the Southridge game, some defense for the wrap up the whole season, and look at the future. You're listening to 106.7 WMVI.
You've got places to go, and Better Banking can help you and your money go further. Are you ready to take your money to new heights? Get a flexible high-yield checking account that lets you customize your interest rate so you can keep your finances headed in the right direction. With Elevate Checking from United Fidelity Bank, you're in control of how much you earn. You can raise your rate with a few easy steps, like using your mobile banking app or getting your paychecks by direct deposit. Get more ways to earn more with Elevate Checking and start earning 4.00% APY. Learn more at unitedfidelity.com/elevate or visit your local banking center. Must meet certain criteria to qualify. Rates may change at any time without notice after the account is opened. APY is accurate as of August 1st, 2024. $25 minimum deposit required to open. Fees or other conditions could reduce earnings on the account. Member FDIC.
The Posey County Co-op has proudly been supporting the communities we live in since 1927. With locations in Mount Vernon, Poseyville, Griffin, St. Wendell, Hopstott, and Evansville, the Posey County Co-op is your number one spot for Asgrow and DeKalb seeds and Purina feed products. The Posey County Co-op also has you covered with their new Posey County Workwear in Mount Vernon. The Posey County Co-op, your number one agricultural resource since 1927.
For over 40 years, the Mount Vernon M-Club has provided support necessary for the success of Mount Vernon student-athletes. Since 1971, over $250,000 has been donated to athletic programs, assisting in weight room equipment, uniforms, and granting college scholarships. The M-Club sells individual bricks for Wildcat Plaza, which are great purchases for alums and class reunions. Bricks are just $35. To make a purchase, contact M-Club President Scott Mitchell at 812-550-0153.
Buying a used vehicle doesn't have to be difficult. And when you come to Auto Car Trader in Mount Vernon, it's not. This week's vehicle of the week is a 2021 Chevrolet Traverse. It's a front-wheel drive silver SUV that's four doors, has cloth interior, and just 66,000 miles. It's a one-owner vehicle with a clear Carfax record that gets 18 miles city and 27 on the highway. Check out the pictures online today at actpreowned.com or swing by the lot at 312 College Avenue. Financing is available for all credit situations at Auto Car Trader in Mount Vernon.
This week at Bud's Hardware, RV antifreeze is $3.99 a gallon. 20-pound propane fills for $14.99. Jersey gloves, 99 cents a pair. Stop by Bud's Hardware. Open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. until 5 p.m. and Saturday from 8 until 5. Serving Mount Vernon since 1874. Bud's Hardware on Main Street. For over 40 years, Russell's Excavating has proudly served the community. Specializing in commercial and industrial services, Russell's offers site preparation for new construction projects, demolition and industrial maintenance services, and all services are rendered with an emphasis on safety first and customer satisfaction. A proud supporter of Wildcats football is family-owned Russell's Excavating at 6800 Leonard Road South in Mount Vernon. Call 812-838-2471 for Russell's Excavating.
This is Justin Schmidt, Regional Manager for Crane Credit Union in Posey County. I want to remind you that Crane Credit Union is committed to serving Posey County. With three locations, familiar faces, and local decisions, we are able to offer cutting-edge products and services that you want, along with hometown feel that you deserve. When you become a member at Crane Credit Union, you're helping to support this community and the schools and organizations that matter to you. Visit us in person at one of our local branches in Poseyville, Mount Vernon, or St. Wendell, or online at cranecu.org to find out how easy it is to join. Crane Credit Union, federally insured by NCUA and Equal Housing Lender.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the next segment of the Mount Vernon High School Coaches Show. I am Alan Buck, sitting here with Coach Justin Fisher, and we are just recapping a really fun and successful football season. And we've talked a little bit about offense. Last thing I did want to mention about offense before Coach throws in some defensive stats, I was really tickled that Luke Weintraub got his second touchdown of the season in the sectional game. A kid, second-year football player. It is not an easy sport to learn and to contribute like he did, and then got deep, and Ryder put it right on his fingertips.
I was really happy to see Luke score as well. I didn't realize Luke played youth football, but I don't know what grades, but he didn't play in middle school, and I don't believe his first 2 years of high school. To see him make the contribution he made this year is really awesome. Luke's an A1 person.
Mm-hmm.
I wish he had another year, but he's turned into a good football player for us. And I think what was most gratifying for me after the game to have a kid like him come up and tell you that he's so glad he played, and just to thank you as a coach and the other coaches, because that's the type of person he is. So to have a kid like that come out, enjoy it, and tell you thank you, that means the world.
Yeah, yeah. Good build on that kid too. If you wanted to, what is he listed at 6'1", 180?
Probably so. Yeah,
that's exactly where you want the 180 pounds to be. He's looking good. He'll be fun to watch in baseball season.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, let's talk about some defense. We don't want to ignore those guys. They work awfully hard, and we try to call as many names as possible from the bottom of the pile. Sometimes that's difficult, but the guys that get the feet are the ones that have done the most damage. It's the guys that lay on top that get their numbers announced. So you've got some good stats there for us.
Yeah, just kind of running down the defense statistics here as a whole, kind of a general comment before we get into some of the specifics. I thought, there were times we played well this year, and there's some times we struggled. I think part of that is due to we all realized that we were losing some key components or individuals on the defensive side of the ball for most of the year, actually. But when you look at defense statistics, I have us down. Our leading tackler was Krieger, at inside linebacker, with 71 tackles and also 11 tackles for loss, which is a really high number there.
That's pretty amazing, especially considering the offensive load that he carried with Lippy out. He was 100% of that load, not splitting carries.
Correct. Then you go down the other inside linebacker, St. Henderson, who's a sophomore. He had just over 60 tackles, and they thought he played really well for a sophomore. Highlight some other guys here. The numbers just pop off the page. Logan Clowers did a nice job. I thought Logan tackled better as a senior than he did his junior year. Of course, then he had five interceptions on the year, including two of those returned for touchdowns. So,
and those are in the same game.
Correct. That's... One being tied for the second longest in school history. And I think he's right around second or third with career interceptions at Mount Vernon. Continuing to go down the list, you look at Brady Schickel, had just over 50 tackles, including 6.5 sacks, 5 tackles for loss. I think the stat that really jumps off the page for him is the 10 quarterback hurries. I think this kid has, I think, right around 36 sacks for his career. I think what you're going to find out, number one, I don't know if it'll ever be broken, that number, because of you have to play from a freshman year, and I think it's getting harder to accumulate quarterback sacks because the quarterback can just get rid of the ball.
Yeah.
They can dump it out, and it's getting harder to record sacks because the rules have gotten so lenient on, getting rid of the ball when you're outside the tackle box and things like that. So
yeah, well, that's I always said one of the smartest throws you can ever teach a quarterback to do is throw it to the cheerleaders, and that you have to know when to do it and just flat get rid of it. Like you said, that saves a sack.
Yep. So I think when you look at the quarterback hurries, that's essentially almost the same as a sack. You continue to go down the list here. I think you look at, a kid like Ryder Snodgrass, who missed some time on the defensive side of the ball. He ended up having just over 30 tackles for us. I thought he did a really nice job for us late in the year.
I was impressed with how he closed to the ball. There were times when he's kind of looks like he's containing or maintaining his position, and all of a sudden he just shoots in there and breaks the running back in half and puts him on the ground. He's got some speed.
Yeah, he does a good job. He's a very scrappy player. Just continuing on the list, I mentioned some people. Kel Collins was a starter for us all year. Thought he did some positive things. We already talked about Easton Hall, who would be one of our best football players overall and one of our best leaders. Didn't get a whole lot of he only played through week five for us this year, so he wasn't able to accumulate the stats he normally would. Ryan Lilliston only played 3 weeks for us. He was having an outstanding season, one of our best defensive players. I think he has an awesome future for him. You look at our defensive line, a couple other guys, Jaden Rayleigh, played for us and started every game. Bryce Bourne did a nice job coming in, playing defensive end after Easton got hurt this year. I thought Trevin Bell did some really good things, including having 5 sacks this year, so I thought that was an awesome thing to see out of him. I think look at some other guys, just mention real quickly, Luke Weintraub, we talked about, end up starting corner second half of the season. Hunter Timmy gave us some valuable snaps at defensive tackle. We saw a little bit out of Clyde Schaubert, who's a junior who should play inside linebacker for us. And I thought Maddox Salee came in. His first game was a Southridge game in the regular season. Even though he didn't get to play in the sectional game, I thought he did a really nice job coming in. So when you look at us overall defensively, I thought there were some bright spots. I obviously kind of missed some people. We struggled at times. If you ask me, I think, you know, we got 3 or 4 kids here. They're all conference, you know, type performers this year. I think you look at a kid like Krieger. I thought Schickel played his best football in the second half of the season, especially against the run, became more physical. So, I think he's that type of kid. I think Logan Clowers is that type of kid with the season he had. And I think you have to look at a kid like St. Henderson, who was probably on that verge, too, of some of the things he did, even though he's only a sophomore. So, and Ryder Snodgrass potentially as an outside linebacker. So I think there's some kids that are in the upper echelon of top performers in the conference at their respective positions.
I'm sure Nash would get it on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, and I think Nash, with limited defensive snaps, especially after he got hurt this year,
right.
I think he might be – I think for his career, he's right around Logan's number with career interceptions. So I got to look at that before we have the banquet, of course. But he did a nice job whenever we need him to.
Yeah, you did a good job holding him out after the injury. When he's come back from the injury, he's so important on the offensive side. Don't play him on defense.
Right.
And that was I know that's a tough thing to do when you keep one of your better athletes off the field, but it paid better dividends, I think.
Right.
So that's a tough decision. That's why you get that big money.
So, well, I wish it was, I guess. I don't know. I don't know if I'm due or not. But, Nash is – you know, Nash probably came back a little before he was fully healthy, but that's just the type of kid he is and what he thinks about his teammates in the school, and he's a competitor.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, have you taught some of the other kids in the program to run as fast as Nash, just upcomers?
Yeah, he does some things that are just kind of, I don't know, you know, I'm just one of the best players I've ever coached, maybe the best probably as far as catching contested balls.
Yeah, he does. You know, he did go up in his diminutive size, would still go up and get his hands on it, and his hands are very, very sure and strong. He and Logan both have such great hands. Well, and Brady, and Weintraub, and I mean, you just had a plethora of receivers, but as far as contested balls, if somebody were able to keep up with Nash, then yeah, he got more than his share of coming down with him.
Yeah, he's special, like we said.
But yeah, it's this. You know, every coach, especially the way you coach these kids, you're coaching them, you're teaching them a lot about life using the analogy of football. You get involved with kids. It's pretty tough at the end of a season when you got 16 of them you got to say goodbye to. And you just got to start over for next year.
It is tough. I mean, this group maybe the landscape of high school sports has changed. And I think some of the things from the college level is filtering down. And you know, this senior class reminds me of what you think of when you think of what I think of in senior football classes maybe, you know, 8, 9, 10 years ago. You know, they're not perfect because anytime you're dealing with kids at the age of 18, there's always going to be challenges and things you have to fight through. But I think at the end of the day, they really cared about their school. They cared about playing, doing their best for their teammates. And I think it was just we knew we kind of had a really good group here, and we felt that if we could, you know, stay healthy, that we would really have a good season. And that was challenging, but we fought through it and ended up having a productive season. But, yeah, it sucks to see some of these kids go because you get close to them, and I just hope at the end of the day, you know, they feel the same way about us as how we feel about them as people. Mm-hmm. And the last thing I would say is I think you're right. Sometimes you can use the game as football as a tool to teach about life. And I think if you look at this year, most simply put, what I was happy about for this team and these seniors is that, you know, sometimes life is going to knock you back and you're, it's going to happen inevitably, and like it did with the adversity we dealt with. But to see the kids stay the course and fight through it and then have success, you know, at the Washington game, win the Posey County Cup and beat North Posey, that was very rewarding as a coach to see, and for the kids to fight through it, stay the course. And if you do that in life, you're going to have success. So I think they learned a valuable lesson this year, hopefully.
One thing that you'll probably never learn is when these kids are 30 and they're in a situation and they think back and they'll remember something that you told them or some battle that they fought and won here, and they'll use that in their day's preparation or the, whatever the situation. And they'll give you a lot of credit. In their mind, they might not, they'll never call you and say, hey, coach, you remember this? Well, I used it today or what have you. But that's what you've given them for the future. And that's pretty good.
Well, I would say, too, that it goes both ways. You know, I think the way these kids affect you, and, you know, that I think I changed as a coach, too, over the last, especially over the last year. And I, so I think it goes both ways. You know, they can learn a lot from us as coaches, hopefully. But I think we learn a lot about how to approach people and situations and kids. And I think you just have to always be willing to learn and adapt and shift.
One of the things I think was such a huge difference for this year and may have been a learning experience. Last year you had four seniors, and one of the kids that we interviewed early in the season, I think, said it best, that last year it was a coach-led team. Coaches did everything. You only had four seniors. This year it was 16, and so much experience, the kid said it's a player-driven team. And not that you guys weren't still driving the bus, but you had an awful lot more contribution on the field just in communication and just in reliance on each other because they'd been together for a little longer. And, you know, there's a huge difference between a really good junior football player and a really good senior football player.
Well, there's no doubt. And that's something I see, that you have to have a good senior class. Well, you know, I guess you don't have to, but it sure helps.
Yeah.
It does. And I think that's one of the challenges we've had. But I think you look around the conference, I think a lot of schools have the same challenge. You know, they might have 1 or 2 years where they have a good senior class, and then, you know, kind of drops off. So I think you're right. Having a big group of seniors is so instrumental and being allow you to be successful and helpful. It just is, because
these are exceptional ones at that.
They were really good. Yeah, this is a very good group, and I think what is most enjoyable is you got a lot of good football players there, but I think they just have some competitiveness to them, and some just overall enjoyment of the game, and just a good group to be around as far as their personalities on a daily basis. I just overall was really a pleasure.
Yeah, and you've pointed out numerous times this season when they really dug deep and showed their grit and determination, and times that they had opportunity to fail staring them in the face and they didn't. Terrific.
I agree.
So good job. We'll come back with our final segment after this break. You're listening to 106.7 WMVI.
Expressway Chevrolet GMC is family-owned and located on the corner of Highway 62 and 69 in Mount Vernon, Indiana. The dealership was built on the principle that every vehicle buying experience should be easy but fun for the whole family. Our award-winning service department has 26 bays, 11 technicians, with 5 of them world-class. Sales is open Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. Inventory is arriving daily, so remember to shop us before you shop anywhere else, and visit us 24/7 at expressway chevrolet.com, Mount Vernon, Indiana.
If you're looking for a dream home in Mount Vernon, T-Mile above ERA First Advantage Realty has another great property for you. You need to check out 316 Sunset Drive, a brand new custom-built home by Bel Air Land. This stunning home features 3 bedrooms, 2.5 baths, and nearly 2,000 square feet of modern living space. Inside, you'll love the open concept design, a bright kitchen with stainless steel appliances and a large island, plus a luxurious owner suite with dual vanities and a tiled shower. Be the very first person to call this home your own. Don't wait. Contact Team Milam today. Give Rick a call at 812-453-1068 and check out the listing online at teammilam.com. Team Milam of ERA First Advantage Realty, going that extra mile.
This is Justin Schmidt, Regional Manager for Crane Credit Union in Posey County. I want to remind you that Crane Credit Union is committed to serving Posey County. With 3 locations, familiar faces, and local decisions, we are able to offer cutting-edge products and services that you want, along with hometown feel that you deserve. When you become a member at Crane Credit Union, you're helping to support this community and the schools and organizations that matter to you.
Visit us in person at one of our local branches in Poseyville, Mount Vernon, or St. Wendell, or online at cranecu.org to find out how easy it is to join. Crane Credit Union, federally insured by NCUA, an equal housing lender.
A proud supporter of Wildcats football is Tequila's Mexican Restaurant in Mount Vernon. Check out their delicious lunch, dinner, and drink specials. Dine-in, carry-out, and delivery available. Find their menu and order online at tequilasmexicanrestaurant.com. Satisfy your craving for great Mexican cuisine at Tequila's Mexican Restaurant. Open Monday through Sunday from 11 until 9 at 408 Plaza Drive in the Southwind Plaza in Mount Vernon.
Whether you were on the field playing or sitting in the stands, clear vision is important for a successful Friday night experience. Dr. Darren Keitel, with almost 30 years of work in optometry, is dedicated to giving your eyes the care they need. Keitel Eye Care is located at 1900 West 4th Street in Mount Vernon. Open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. until 5 p.m. Call Keitel Eye Care at 812-838-5526. Dr. Darren Keitel wishes head coach Justin Fisher and the Mount Vernon football team the best of luck this season.
Score 0% APR for up to 72 months on new 2025 and new 26 Ram 1500s at Expressway Jeep. New 25 Ram Night Edition 4x4 for $39,975. Save up to $16,000 during October Truckathon at Expressway Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram in Mount Vernon.
Excludes tax, title, and 250 dock fee. Includes all applicable rebates and bonus cash. Includes 1,500 Expressway Jeep owner loyalty. 0% APR for 60 months on new 2026 Ram 1500s in lieu of other rebates and incentives. With approved credit through Stellantis Financial Services. See dealer for details.
GAF of Mount Vernon, North America's premier roofing and waterproofing manufacturer, proudly supports Posey County football with the mission to protect what matters most. GAF builds unmatched strength, safety, and innovation, qualities that inspire champions on and off the field. GAF is honored to stand alongside our community and cheer on the Wildcats and Vikings players as they leave it all on the field this season. Here's to a safe, successful, and unforgettable season with pride and support from your friends at GAF.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Mount Vernon Football Coaches Show. I'm Alan Buck, sitting here with Justin Fisher, who's listening to 106.7 WMVI and PoseyCountyRadio.com. As we bring this 2025 football season to a close, what do you have any complete season statistics on offense to wrap up?
We do. We'll start with the rushing category, just talk about some kids there. Shane Krieger led the way with 163 carries for 973 yards. Came kind of like Nash last year, just came up a few yards short of 1,000. He came up with a few yards short of 1,000 there. Had 13 touchdowns, and then obviously I think you have to look at the North Posey game as probably one of the better.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, one of the better performances maybe. You know, that's happened here at Mount Vernon football in a while.
Well, he had two games in one game, basically. He had 37 carries, I think, 38, 39, somewhere in there, and 250 yards roughly on the ground.
Right.
You split those in half, and you got 225 games with 20 carries. Those are two great games, and he put them all together in one. And if I remember, he had 7 or 8 tackles that game.
Right.
That's a kid with some conditioning and just some sheer will.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's to come up just short of 1,000, wish it would have gotten there, but I think what I'm most happy with him about is that I think Shane really figured it out as far as the last three games. I think he played his potential and played as hard as he could. So what I'm most happy about for him is that he can leave knowing that he did his absolute best, especially the last three or four games as a senior, and can leave the program and know that I think Shane, I always talked about, was one of our best football players, most talented. Mm-hmm. I always say he was the most talented. But I think when you look at the last three or four games, he reaches talent and his ability, and so I'm happy about that.
You can take your younger kids, younger ball carriers, and point to him and say, if you run as hard as he did, you know, you'll achieve some great things. Because I think he's very talented, but I think he overachieved for that talent.
Right. Well, you talk about talent and production, that's two different things.
Absolutely, yes.
And I always said Shane was the most talented, but I think he became one of our, if not one of our most productive or best players, and had – I'm just happy for him that he reached his potential down the stretch and played as hard as he could. I'm just satisfied and so happy for that kid because one of the best football players I've ever coached all around. You go down to the list here, Easton Hall, only played through 5 games, would have had many opportunities rushing. Mm-hmm. He had a little over 200 yards on the season and didn't get a chance to. Obviously, Grant Lippe the same way. So Shane got a lot more carries. Yeah. That way, which might have affected his ability on defense, just getting tired a little bit.
Although he played very well on defense, no doubt. You're right. I'm sure it took a little bit off of him. And a thing that doesn't show in the statistics is how many of those blocks that Easton Hall threw were very, very important to spring in a running back. And those,
I mean,
there's no way to quantify that.
But you can't replace a kid like that. That's the bottom line.
No.
Or Lippe either. Then Paxton Boyd as a freshman did a nice job coming in and running the ball. And St. Henderson obviously got some carries with our issues that we had at running back depth.
Right.
So that's kind of rushing when you
his blocking was very key too.
Absolutely.
And I thought to take a sophomore and give him have him try to fill in for a kid like Easton Hall and how he produced, I thought was terrific.
No doubt about that. I mean, look at passing. Ryder Snodgrass was 116 for 200, 58% completion percentage, just over 1,700 yards passing. So had another really good season, 17 touchdowns. I think we had him for right around 10 interceptions, so that's kind of passing. I think he's third all-time in touchdowns and career passing yards, just short of 4,000 yards, and 42 touchdowns and 16 interceptions, which puts him right at, I think, third all-time, right behind Rhett and Nico.
I was going to say right behind somebody else named Snodgrass would be my bet.
That is accurate. And then you look at the receiving statistics for the year. Luke Weintraut had 17 for 203 and two touchdowns. Schickel, 25 receptions, 327 yards, three touchdowns. Clowers, 28 receptions, 453 yards, and two scores. Then you go down. We had Kel Collins had a few receptions. And then, of course, the one that sticks out to you is Nash, 38 receptions, 716 yards, an abbreviated season. He only played seven games, 10 touchdowns. How about this for career, okay? He finished his career. Nash did with 2,516 yards on 118 receptions and 35 touchdowns.
Wow.
He finished just short 137 yards of being the all-time leading receiver in school history. If he would have played those three games, there's no doubt that he would have been the leading receiver in the history of the school. And he finished two touchdowns shy. He had 35 touchdowns for a season. I'm sorry, for a career.
Yeah.
He finished just two shy of that, too. So he would have held those records if he'd been healthy, but you know, the type of person Nash is, he doesn't play for records. He plays for team success and just the ability to go out there and compete. But that's kind of a rundown. I thought Mason Higginson did a great job on kickoffs and extra points. And then Ryder Snodgrass had a really good year punting the ball for our rugby stuff. So that's kind of the rundown on the offensive statistics there.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I'm sure you're going to have a lot of fun memories to relive over the,
yep.
You know, and they'll get better with time. And,
you're right. The one thing I didn't point out there, too, is we're losing some, you know, valuable offensive linemen up front who are seniors, too. Timmy, you know, you look at Bryce Bourne, who did a nice job for us. Tinsley, who played very well for us. Also, those guys are seniors up front, and so we'll have to find some people that can fill their shoes when you start talking about and looking at offensive linemen with experience for next year. But didn't want to leave without not mentioning those guys who made a really good contribution up front. Lewis Allen's also another senior that played a lot of snaps for us this year. And and you talk about the memories. Yes, I really like the group in particular. I always thought a lot of the senior group, not only the players, they were the people, but I think to be able to experience the adversity that we fought through and then be able to win the North Posey game and to be able to celebrate that on the field will be a memory that I cherish for a lifetime, honestly.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that told me how good this team was and could become was the Boonville game. From the opening bell, your offensive and defensive lines controlled everything, offense in particular. And normally you're close to evenly matched, similar type kids. I mean, they're
no doubt,
and just athlete quality of athletes, very similar.
Sure,
one year to the other, it'll tip in one school's favor. But we took superior teams up there before, and we're just in dogfights. And we took lesser teams up there and came out with win.
Right.
And this year, though, it was, I don't know why you were pacing the sideline. It was very relaxed where I was because it was obvious the line was over, had taken over the game.
Yeah, I think that game is a little bittersweet. I think it shows what we could have done if we'd had a full group and a full roster to play with all year. I think it kind of showed the potential that we had as a football team. So, you know, I don't know that we ever, after that game, we probably were never got the same group of kids on the field. We had a hard time with staying healthy, you know what I mean, this year. But that's the breaks of the game, and those things happen. I think you look at our schedule, and Gibson Southern, you know, they're phenomenal. They beat Memorial. I think they have a very good chance of being in the state finals if they can stay healthy.
Yeah.
Getting beat by Heritage Hills, there's two of your losses. And I think Southridge and us were probably evenly matched. If, like I said, if we kind of would have been a little bit more fortunate about some of the guys we'd had available, I think those games could have turned out differently, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, when you look at
– You're certainly right there.
Right,
I mean,
right.
I think you made – I thought last year you put more points on them than anybody but Heritage Hills, I believe. And so – You made big strides, and this year you took another huge step, and especially the North Posey game. And again, you were talking about the injury stuff. I exchanged some of the other broadcasters. They'll send me some two deep lineups of teams, and I'll exchange what I have. And in trying to fill in which player fills in for which player, at one point on the last ones, I just told them, at this point, we're using duct tape and coat hanger wire because you were just down. I mean, you were shifting people around to where I couldn't tell anybody who was going to play what position. And you did a fantastic job putting that team together and holding it together and finishing the season strong.
Well, I think we have, we don't have a big number of coaches here, but the guys we have, you know, I don't know if we're the greatest coaching staff. I do think we try to prepare and put the kids in the best chance to be successful as we possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying we're the greatest coaching staff ever assembled, but I do know the guys we have on our staff, you know, Riley Snodgrass and Brandon Merrick, they do a great job on the offensive side of the ball. You know, Josh Harris helped me a lot defensively this year, just kind of taking some things off my plate. You know, when you look at Adam Boyd and Rhett, the job they did with the JV team finished 5-3. You know, I think we have adults on the staff that, at the very least, do the best they can to prepare the kids. They don't shortchange them as far as not invest in the time. We invest the time.
Mm-hmm.
Try to do the best we can, hopefully give the kids a good experience. So we're lucky to have the guys that we have on the coaching staff. And I think you have, finally, in summary, the biggest credit goes to our kids,
mm-hmm.
Who are the ones out there playing on a weekly basis, and in particular our seniors, and fighting through some things that didn't go their way. So I'm very pleased, and I would say we had a successful season,
yeah.
a very productive and good season.
Absolutely. So you're going to take a few weeks off and then hit the weight room?
Yeah, well, the older I get, I approach things a little bit differently there. I don't want the kids to think about football until January.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think we're going a time and a realm here of sports, you know, where – I just see some of the winter sports are cranking up, and their official practice starts in a couple of weeks, and they're having two or three practices a few weeks before the official practice starts. And I think one thing that we try to do to our kids this year is give them some more time off in the summer, and maybe less is more. I just think, you know, whatever everybody else wants to do, that's fine. But, you know, that's the way we're going to approach with our kids. Let them – I think you need to play multiple sports. I don't want to think about it after you get out of the season of football. I mean, you're taxed out mentally.
Yeah. You should be.
So I don't want to think about it all until probably around January. We'll have the banquet in November the 18th,
mm-hmm.
kind of wrap up some things, postseason awards. Hopefully we have some kids we'll have some get nominated, hopefully get selected for all conference and other teams. And then, you know, once the new year hits, then we'll start worrying about and looking forward to next year, because we've got a lot of work to do. We lost a big group of seniors, as you pointed out.
Yeah. You know, that's the thing is, you're keeping your pipeline up. And one of the things that I always said when 100 years ago when my kids were in schools, look, I want kids being as much as they love football, when football was over, looking forward to basketball. And one of them, when basketball was over, he was looking forward to track.
Yeah.
And then so keeping the kids fresh in multiple sports, I think, is a lot better than just football 12 months out of the year.
Alan, unfortunately, I think some of that's changed. I think it's a negative thing that kids have to specialize. I feel like they have to specialize in one or two sports. But I think kids playing multiple sports is a good thing. I think, you know, going to next year, looking around, I think with some of the rules that have taken place at state level, I don't think many of us that are coaching know what all this is going to look like. You know what I mean? So you have to just be flexible and just try to put forth your best effort and do the best you can and have good relationships with the kids. And then that's all, you just do the best you can. And I think one thing that I leave here with concluding this year, and hopefully our kids too, I have peace of mind knowing that as a coaching staff, we did the best we could to prepare our kids the best way each week. And I think if you do your best, there's a lot of, like I said, peace of mind, and you can live with whatever the results are. So just very proud of the group and what they fought through to have a winning season. And we've got a lot of work to do, obviously, here in a couple months.
Absolutely. And you've got good numbers in the pipeline, so we will look forward to the next edition of Mount Vernon Football. And we'll talk to you about that next July or August or something. But for now, thanks for a great season, great entertainment, great watching these kids mature and what they do on the field and how they contribute to the Mount Vernon community. And thank you for all of your time.
We're really proud to coach this group and really proud to coach here, you know, and have the success we did this year. So thank you.
Absolutely. And with that, I'll say good night to all good sports.
You've been listening to the Mount Vernon Wildcat Coaches Show on 106.7 WMVI and MountVernonRadio.com. This broadcast has been brought to you by the Posey County Co-op, United Fidelity Bank, Auto Car Trader, Crane Credit Union, Expressway Chevrolet, Bud's Hardware, the Mount Vernon M Club, Expressway Jeep, T. Milam of Erie First Advantage Realty, Russell's Excavating, Keitel Eye Care, GAF, and Tequila's. Keep up to date with Mount Vernon Sports on your home of the Wildcats, 106.7 WMVI and PoseyCountyRadio.com.